what is or how to do God's will. We looked at some specific examples of what God's will is, and I'll just remind you the reason why we looked at those last week was so that to really address that if we're not doing the things that God clearly says are His will in His Word, we shouldn't be trying to act like we're seeking God's will in other areas of our life. It's important to start with what He's already revealed as His will, and then pursue His will in our decision making. So tonight we're talking about how to do God's will. Hopefully, if you've been looking the last couple weeks at what God's will is, that your response has been that I want to do that. I want to do God's will. I've had that question at the end the last couple weeks. Do you really want to do God's will? Because if you don't want to do God's will, it's not even an issue. None of this is going to make any difference. But if you do want to do God's will and you've made that choice that you go, I do want to follow and do God's will, tonight we're going to talk about how to do that. How do I actually accomplish that in my life? Accomplish God's will in my life. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. 8:38. You guys will notice, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, I don't know if I did it last week, but you'll notice that some of your scriptures on your handouts are blue and some are black. I did that, and I'm hopefully going to remember to continue to do that. The blue ones are the ones that you're going to have to look up. The black ones, you can look up if you want to, or you can just look up here, because they'll be up on the screen. 8:38, is that what you said? Or 8:48, Rihanna? 8:38. 1 John chapter 2. Oh, my brain needs to get in gear. I had an eye appointment today, and you know how they dilate your eyes and make them really big? It's been messing me up all day. I'm trying to like focus, and I can't focus. And anyway, gotta focus. All right, 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15, says this. It says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful people, the lust of their eyes, and their boasting about what they have and do, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." He starts out in verse 15. Charlie, could you turn this way for me? Starts out in verse 15 and says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If you love the world, love for the Father is not in you." The bottom line of what he's talking about there is he's saying it's impossible in our lives to pursue earthly goals, earthly things. It's impossible to live the way the rest of the world lives. It's impossible to love the things that the world loves and pursue God's will for your life. Those things can never be compatible. And I know that some of us go, well, of course that's true. Of course, you know, I know this idea of the world that comes from the Bible, and we're not to be we're to be in the world, not of the world. And I get that I'm not supposed to pursue things of the world, which we translate that to mean I need to not sin. But this is talking much more about the way that the world operates. The way that the world operates that causes them to sin. That causes us to sin when we buy into that way of thinking. We cannot pursue life the way the world around us pursues life. If we pursue life like the world pursues life, we will not be pursuing God's will. It just won't happen. But I've seen so many times, not only biblically, but also in my experience, I've seen so many times where people go, you know what? I can pursue earthly goals, and I can pursue God's will. Those are parallel tracks. I can do that. I can pursue life like the world around me pursues life, and I can pursue God, and we can do both of those things at the same time. And God is clearly telling us here, and I've seen this in life, and I can clearly tell you this from my experience, it's impossible. It's impossible. You try to pursue life the way that the world around you pursues life, and you try to pursue God and God's will for your life, you will pursue life the way the world around you pursues life, and you will not pursue God. That's the way it's going to happen. You will not do God's will. He says, don't love the world or anything in the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. For, this is the reason why, for everything in the world, everything about the world, the cravings of sinful people, the lust of their eyes, and their boasting about what they have and do comes not from the Father, but from the world. Everything that the people around you, that you are around every day, that are not people who submit their lives to God and to God's will, are people who everything that they pursue, everything about the way that they pursue it, is away from God's will. It doesn't come from the Father, it comes from the world. So if we want to pursue God's will, we've got to develop a whole different set of pursuits in our life. And a whole different way in which we pursue our goals. And a lot of times a whole different set of goals. Verse 17, he finishes it off and says, the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Almost everyone on the face of the planet, almost everyone, lives for today, or lives for tomorrow, or lives for next week, or next month. They live for now, and what's going on now in their lives. We are called to live for eternity, to live for eternal things, things that won't be temporary, things that will not pass away, things that will last forever. Getting an A on your test in biology on Friday is not going to last. As important as that may seem, you will not remember that test in probably a month, and definitely not in a year, and that will not matter 20 years from now. But if you submit yourselves to Colossians 3:23, which says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, and you pursue biology like you were working for the Lord and not for a human master, and people look at that and go, man, I hate that. Nobody likes that biology teacher, and you're working hard. You're not doing just the bare minimum like other people are doing. What is the deal with you? Why would you do that? That guy's a jerk. Why would you do that? That class sucks. Who wants to do well in that class? Who cares? And you're pursuing it with all that you got, like you were serving God. That's going to last. That's not only going to last, that's not only going to make an impact in those people around you for now, it's going to make an eternal impact. Those things will last forever. Forever, which we can't even comprehend that. We can't even put our minds around what that is. But like, you know, 1,000 years from now, that will matter. 1,000,000 years from now, that will matter. That will last. Whether you are on the basketball team a month from now, it'll matter then. But it's not even going to matter in 5 years. No one's going to care whether you're on the high school basketball team in 20 years. You're not even going to care whether you're on the basketball team in 20 years. But if you're on the basketball team and you're submitting yourself to Matthew 5:16, which says, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven, and that you are on the basketball team shining your light on purpose and going, this is what my life is about. This is the pursuit of my life. Is to show the people around me who Jesus is and what he means in my life. It's going to last forever. Forever. Will never fade, never tarnish. We need to be people who live for eternity, who live for things that will never perish, never fade. You want to do God's will, you live for eternity. You don't live for today or next week or next month. Going on, you guys don't have to turn to these next couple passages. John 6:38 says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. This is Jesus sent by God, the Son of God, God himself in human form, and he says, my life is not about me, it's about God. My will, my plan, my dreams, my desires mean nothing compared to God's will for me, God's plan for me, God's dreams for me, God's desires for me. He's saying, my whole life is dedicated to the will of the Father. There is nothing that I do here on this earth, I'm speaking as Jesus now, there's nothing here that I do on this earth that is not God's will, that is not to fulfill God's will in my life. And he not only said it, but he lived it out. Luke 22:42. This is the night before Jesus is going to be accused falsely, beaten senseless, and crucified for no good reason. No substantial reason. And this is what he says. He's talking to God. One-on-one conversation with God. And he says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Which means, I don't want to do this. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus was saying, my will is not to be handed over to the Roman officials. My will is not to be falsely accused. My will is not to suffer. My will is not to die. Any other way, God, please make that happen. I do not want what's about to happen to me. He knew it was coming. He said, I don't want it. I do not want to go through that. I'm sure we all would have said the same thing. I don't want to go through that. If you knew what was coming. No, I don't think so. But my life is not about me. It's about you. My life is not about what I want. It's about what you want. My will, my plan, my dreams, my desires, my whole life is dedicated to your will. Whatever that is. And we know the end of the story, right? God's will was for him to be falsely accused, be beaten senseless, be crucified. And so he did. He submitted himself to that. His final act of his life of submitting his will to the Father. To do God's will, you have to come to a point in your life, and hopefully that point is tonight, is now, where you can honestly say to God, not my will, God, not my plan for my life, not my dreams, not my desires, but yours. You can honestly say, God, you know what, my whole life is dedicated to your will and your plan for me. I don't want anything else. Yeah, everybody else is pursuing something very, very different than that. But I want your will. And those two aren't compatible, and I recognize that. So I want whatever you want. got to want His will for your life more than your own. Galatians 5. This one you guys do need to turn to. Yes. Turn to 798. You want to do God's will, you got to live for eternity. Live for things that last. And you've got to want His will more than your own. Galatians 5:13 says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature," or the flesh is really what that says, the flesh. "Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other." Verse 1 in chapter 5, Paul is starting this whole chapter, really it's the whole chapter, but definitely the beginning of the chapter, which is talking about our freedom. The freedom that we have been given in Christ. He's responding to chapter 4 and talking about really the fact that we bind ourselves into this rule-living life, which is all about doing the right things at the right times and pleasing the right people at the right times, and that is just a life of slavery. And then he goes on to talk about it's a life of slavery to submit ourselves back into our desires that most of the world around us is enslaved, and that is the only word to describe how it is. They're enslaved to their desires. Whatever feels good, whatever feels right, they do that all the time. They're enslaved to it. It's their master. But we... Verse 1, it says, "It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and then do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." He says, God has freed you to be free, which sounds kind of redundant, of course. But he's trying to emphasize the fact that we've been freed from this life of submission to endless rules and regulations, endless people's expectations, endless submission to our desires. He says, you've been freed from that so that you will live free. Don't be free from that so you act like a slave again. It's ridiculous. And he says in verse 13, he says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh, to indulge your sinful desires. Rather," you're free to do that, by the way. He's emphasizing the fact that you are free to submit yourself to your desires and be enslaved again. You're free to do that. God has given you that freedom. But he says, don't do that. Instead, serve one another humbly in love. We can choose to follow our passions and desires. We can choose to pursue what I want out of my life. I have goals for my life. I have a very specific plan for my life. And this is the way I'm going to go. This is the way I'm going to live. My will, my plans, my comfort, my happiness, that's the important thing. You can live that way. As a believer, you can live that way. People do it all the time. You've been given the freedom to do that. But don't do that. Because you have the choice that you can use your freedom to serve the people around you in love. To pursue God's will by loving people. By the way, the pursuit of love in your life, to go, I'm going to pursue love with all I've got, loving people with all I've got, that is by very definition God's will. And it requires us laying down our own will. to do God's will, you must use your freedom to serve others in love. You have to. And I would say it's pretty sweet that we get to, because most of the world is enslaved to selfishness and self-seeking life, whatever I want. They can't even get out of it even if they wanted to. Are you consistently doing God's will in your life? Please don't let that question pass you by tonight. I think part of what we need to do tonight is really honestly evaluate our life and go, am I even seeking God's will in my life? I say that I want God's will. I say that I want to pursue God's will, but do I really? Are you consistently doing God's will in your life? What needs to change in your life to become more consistent? Looking at these principles that we just looked at, what do you need to change about what is going on in these passages that we looked at? How do they need to change your thoughts and your life? Again, do you really want God's will for your life? If you don't, none of this matters. None of it matters. Just saying you want God's will for your life is not going to change anything. Do you really want it? Whatever that means. What do you need to do starting tonight? Think about that as you think about your do principle for so what time. And then what are three lessons that God is teaching you or reminding you of tonight? I'll give you guys a couple minutes to fill those out. Please fill out at least one or two of those at the bottom. You too, Charlie. Pray for you guys. Lord, as we go to so what time, I pray for honesty tonight, that we just wouldn't hold back and say the right answers that we think everybody else wants to hear, but that we would truly just be honest and open about where we've missed it in regards to your will, where we've honestly just chosen to go a different direction and chosen our will over yours. I pray more than anything that we would choose tonight to submit ourselves, no matter what that means, to whatever your will is for us. Pray this all in your name. Amen. Let's go to our so what time.